We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM and tuning in to hear the Word of God and sow it into your lives. We want to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Why? So that we do not sin against Him. And so thank you for investing in your spiritual well-being and the empowering, transforming of your life to make a difference here in Brevard County. So today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 47 and 48. Do want to remind you that our vintage service is coming up Wednesday, today, 11 o'clock. And then our kids ministry will take place tonight at 6 o'clock is when we start eating, 6:30 is when the classes start, 7:45 is when they get done. And God is really, really doing some wonderful things there in regards to the kids ministry. Tonight I'm in charge of the boys ministry, and we got some exciting things planned for them. So if you're able to make it out to that, we'd encourage you to do so. Do want to invite you out to our services this weekend. If you can be there and be a part of that, I'm trying to think of the date right off the top of my head, but, not 23rd, 22nd, 21st, December or September the 20th, I believe it is. So, if you could come out and be a part of that, we would love to have you. That night we will be having, our regular Sunday night service at the church. And so, you are invited to attend. Today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 47 just for a little bit, and then we're going to move over into chapter 48. I told you that I would share with you when I had heard from the surgeon. He and I spoke while I was recovering from surgery, but I don't remember that conversation, and so I finally got to meet with them, and the MRI had shown a tear in a tendon, and that was one of the things that they were going in to repair, and it showed something separated from the bone. And so those were the two things that they were going in to repair, and those were the two things that I was praying that when they got in there, they would find that those things were already taken care of. And I'm glad to report to you that's exactly what they found. I didn't pray any more specific than that. When they got in there, even though the MRI showed that damage, there was a quite encouraging report that came when they looked at the pictures and I asked questions. When they got in there, they found something that the MRI didn't show that was in worse condition than what they thought, and so it was a good report. The doctor said, MRIs are not 100% accurate. And I said, well, that may be, but that was specifically what I was praying for, that tendon would be sound and that everything would be attached to the bone. And so I'm glad to report to you those two things have been verified by the doctor. I saw the pictures, and so very, very thankful for a good report there. So I've got several more weeks of therapy, and you just pray that I'm patient enough in my personality to be able to not rush things and get ahead of schedule. So in Genesis chapter 47, verse number 28, verse 27 and 28, says, so Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. So what I just wanted to point out to you is that When Jacob first saw Joseph, he thought that he was ready to die, but he had 17 more years over, 10% of his life was still left to live. Closer to 15% of his life from the time that he got there. He got there at the age of 130. And so almost 15% of his life, he still had yet to live. I want you to know today that no matter where you are at in the spectrum of life, God has so much more in store for you than what you and I. Let's just don't fold up our tents and fold our hands and say, this is it. I'm just ready to die. The best days are behind me. Instead, I want you to know that the glory of the Lord, he intends for it to increase, not to decrease. Francis Chan has a video, I believe that's his name, that I've seen on some Facebook video clips where he has this very, very long rope. And at the end of a very long rope, he's got a small piece of tape. And he says, now, if this rope represents eternity, he said, most people spend almost all of their time focusing on this little bitty piece of red tape at the very end of the rope. And there's so much more beyond that. So today, I want to expand your horizons and expand your vision and let you know that God is got so many things in store for you that are exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to his power, which is working in us. Let's not just settle and say, okay, I'm done, I'm good. You know, Elijah said, God, just kill me and take my life. He still had, about 19 more years of ministry. Even though it's only about five chapters, there were people to anoint that were going to do great things in Israel. So let's believe God for more. Let's believe God that he is able to do. Chapter 48. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed, your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Remember, Manasseh means God has made me forget. Ephraim means God has made me fruitful or double fruit in the land. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Let's stop the reading right there for just a moment. And so Jacob indeed did get sick. It was not long before he died. And news came to Joseph that his father was sick. And so even though Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, he made it a priority to go and visit his family. I know that I have talked to you about making sure that you spend as much time as you can with your family. But this trip was more important than just a bedside call. Joseph didn't realize what was getting ready to take place, but he brought him there anyway. And I want to encourage you that if Joseph had not had the proper mindset, even when he got promoted to the prime minister position in Egypt, that if he had not taken the mindset that I am going to increase here, I'm not going to decrease here, that Ephraim and Manasseh would not have been born. And not only would his life have been deprived, Jacob would have been deprived, and two of the tribes of Israel would not have been in existence. Ephraim became synonymous with the 10 northern tribes. And so I want to encourage you that even if you find yourself in a difficult place right now, say, God, I want to increase here. I want to grow here. I want to learn something new here. I want something that is going to change my destiny to come as a result of this place. Do not just settle. Do not just bide your time. Do not just tread water and occupy ground. Instead, say, God, make this a profitable place. So Joseph shows up, and he brings Manasseh and Ephraim with him. And it says, and Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And I love this. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Jacob, or Israel, strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. At 147, he strengthens himself and changes his posture. Today, I want to ask you this question. What are you doing to strengthen yourself? And is it resulting in a change in your posture? Are you prepared for a divine encounter? You see, Jacob had something different in mind than what Joseph had in mind. Joseph is coming. He's bringing his kids so that they can see their grandfather one last time. But Jacob says, I need to strengthen myself. There is something that is going, it's got to take place today, and it's going to require my strength, and it's going to require me setting myself upright in order to do it. Strengthen yourself. If nothing else, strengthen yourself in the Word. If nothing else, strengthen yourself in prayer. If nothing else, strengthen yourself in praise and worship. If nothing else, strengthen yourself in fellowship with other believers of like faith. Surround yourself with people smarter than you are and position yourself. Listen, Jacob not only physically repositioned himself, but he positioned himself to be a blessing. He was going to pronounce a blessing that day that Joseph and Manasseh and Ephraim and no one else knew anything about. Today, as you are either on your way at work, maybe you're already at work, maybe you're listening to me, if you have to excuse yourself and make a trip to the restroom right now, just go in there and position yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, as far as your countenance. Position yourself so that you can be a blessing today. Maybe it was a rough trip to work, whatever it might have been, just say, God, I need you to help me to reposition myself. Lord, even if you feel incapable of strengthening yourself, you have access to the unlimited resource of God's strength. Say, God, strengthen me today. I want to be a blessing. And so that's exactly what Jacob did. Jacob begins to announce to Joseph that God had appeared to him. Make sure that you pass along to the next generation, even if they already know it. Make sure that they know that the way that you have lived your life was a result of a divine encounter that you have with God. See, Manasseh and Ephraim were standing right there. They heard it. They had heard the stories of their father, but now they're hearing, hey, Dad not only had an encounter with God, but Grandpa had an encounter with God, and I want to have an encounter with God. I don't want it to end with them. And he said, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Someone once said that God has no grandchildren. And what Jacob said was, I am going to take something. You see, there is no tribe of Joseph. There is the tribe of Ephraim, and there's the tribe of Manasseh. And so in actuality, there became 13 different designation groups. Levi had a unique relationship, and so God was his inheritance, but as far as the rest of the inheritance, all of that was to go to the 10 other brothers and Manasseh and Ephraim, and Jacob said, I am claiming them as my children. They will receive an inheritance from me, as just as the rest of your brothers will receive an inheritance. These two, Manasseh and Ephraim, shall be mine. Then Israel, it says in verse number 8, then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me in this place. Now, Jacob had just been talking about them, and now he's looking at them. And you might think that this is a strange question. Who are these boys here? But you, if you will go back, if you will have a little bit of a flashback, and you remember how Jacob had come into Isaac and portrayed himself as Esau under his mother's direction so that he might get the blessing, Jacob is saying, okay, who are these guys? I want to make sure that what I'm getting ready to do are for the appropriate people. Even if you don't learn all of your life lessons the easy way, at least remember the lessons that you learned yourself. Don't make the same mistake that other people have made. And Jacob said, look, I know I sowed some seeds of deception, and I reaped 20 years of dealing with Laban in a like manner. He changed my wages 10 times. And so I just want to make sure that when I am in a position to bless by faith, that I'm going to bless the right people. I'm going to bless. And Joseph said, these are my sons whom God has given me. And he said, please bring them to me. I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him and he kissed them. And he embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. And I just want to remind you again that God will exceed your expectations. He will not he will not lower the expectations. Somebody said one time, if we lower the standards anymore, we're going to have to bury them. In America, we have been lowering the standard of righteousness. I'm going to chase a little bit of a rabbit trail here for just a moment. We have been lowering the standards of righteousness. And there are two things that have never failed to lead to a revival. The first of those is that when God's people pray, there has never been a revival that has been birthed out of a lack of prayer, but there have been a lot of revivals that have been birthed in prayer. And so I encourage you, and if you're still able to go out and see the war room, if it's still showing, I don't keep up on the movie screen viewings, but that movie is absolutely incredible movie. It will challenge you. I actually saw an interview where the media person said that they were so moved when they went and saw the movie that they went home and cleaned out a closet and established their own prayer room. And so I encourage you, if you want to see revival, let's humble ourselves. Let's get on our face and let's seek the face of God. The second thing is revival has never come where the standard of holiness has been lowered. You see, if there is no reward for holiness, if there is no need for holiness, then we will choose the flesh. I read an article last week about this church that is growing in Brazil, and they call themselves the Pentecostal church, and I want you to know I'm Pentecostal, but this church is not holy Pentecostal. They're Pentecostal with a different spirit, because they do not have a standard of holiness. They don't have a standard of holiness. And so even though there are Pentecostal churches that are just exploding across that particular country, the media liked to focus on this one little bitty ministry that is what they are doing, is they are appealing to people, but not with an appeal of holiness, not with an appeal of repentance, but they are appealing to them on a basis of accommodation of their sin. I want you to know that the Bible says that the very first blessing, the preeminent blessing, is for God to give us the gift of repentance. If you say that you're blessed, I'm going to ask you if you have repented. And I will tell you, the more that unrepentance goes on, the more you are going to see not only the primary blessing of God disappear, but you will see the subsequent blessings of God. Those will fail sooner or later as well. I told my kids one time, it says, if you reject my rules, you are rejecting my provision. And I'm thankful that they all came, and you know, even though they might not have understood it at the time, they have all come and said, hey, you know, I appreciate that you had a standard of righteousness, but it was not a standard of righteousness that was without love. It was a compassionate righteousness that said, look, because I love you, I want you to know the word of God. And, you know, right now in America, we are asking God for his protection and his provision, but we don't want to have anything to do with his righteousness and his holiness. I think that's sad. And what we will see is that eventually, just like with Israel, God will lift his hand of protection. God will lift his hand of provision, and he will let us fend for ourselves, and he will let us learn what life is like when we have said we don't wish to retain the knowledge of God. We despise your word. We don't want to have anything to do with it. Just get out of our way. Move over to the corner. Just occupy your little space. And when that happens, God help us. So then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. I want my kids to be embraced. I want my kids to have a good relationship with their grandparents, but I want them to know that the real source of their blessing comes from God. A week ago on Wednesday night, I was talking about that God extends mercy to those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You know, and if you just look at that and say, okay, a generation comes along every 20 years, rough, give or take, you know, there's a different generation that comes along every 20 years, 1,000 generations, that's 20,000 years. That's longer than the entire existence of humanity. Do you realize that when God spoke that to Moses, he was saying, if I can get a person right now who will love me and keep my commands and train his children to love and keep my commands, and they will train that for as long as time endures, they will always experience my mercy. Praise God. And so I want my kids, I want my grandkids to be embraced by God. And Israel said, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God also has shown me your offspring. Verse number 12, so Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth, and Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And then it says he began to pronounce his blessing. Ishmael was older than Isaac, but Isaac was the child of the covenant. Esau was just fractionally older than Jacob, but Jacob was the child of the covenant. And, you know, from a logistic standpoint, the older was the one who was to receive the double portion. Their portion was supposed to be double that of the rest of the kids and the rest of the descendants. But God doesn't always do things according to the way that we think that they should be done. And Isaac, or I'm sorry, it wasn't Isaac, it was Jacob, Israel. At this point in time, there was something that took place in his spirit and said, your right-hand blessing needs to go to Ephraim, and he needs to receive the greatest blessing. And so it says that he did not do this by accident, but he guided his hands knowingly. He guided his hands knowingly. We're going to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow, but I want you to know right now that we need the direction of God. We don't just need the direction of God on how to get to heaven. We need the direction of God when it comes to our spouse, who we should marry. We need the direction of God as to which job to take. We need the direction of God as to how to walk. We need the direction of God as to what to put our hands to. It said that Jacob had full knowledge. He guided his hands knowingly. Joseph, a little bit later, is going to confront him and say, look, you got your hands all mixed up here, Dad. Here, let me help you. And Jacob said, I know what I'm doing. And today, you know what? I don't have to covet someone else's blessing. Today, what I need is a relationship with God, and I can trust that God, who promised that he will bless us, that he will guide his hands at the right time, that everything that we have need of, listen, if he did not withhold his son, Jesus, how will he withhold anything that we have need of? He blesses us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He gives us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. Today, I want you to know that you are not serving a confused God, but a fully aware God, and that his hands know what he wants to bless. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that today people would be strengthened, that they would be positioned in order to be a blessing. Lord, today I pray that we would trust you, that you know what you are doing. Lord, that we would be delivered from the spirit of complaining and murmuring. Lord, that we would not be filled with bitterness or jealousy, but Lord, instead, we would acknowledge the goodness and greatness of our God. Be a blessing today. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.